And if you look down at verse number 14, you find the title of my sermon. In verse 14, the Bible says, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah," and here's the title of my sermon. It says, "I was no prophet." I was no prophet. You see, throughout the book of Amos, we see Amos preaching hard against various nations. And one of the nations he preaches the hardest against is against Israel. And of course, against the king, King Jeroboam. And go back to Amos 3, just to give you a little example of some of his preaching. Amos 3, look at verse number 11. Amos 3, 11, the Bible says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee." So God is telling Israel, I'm going to bring down that strength that you have. That which you think is making you strong, I'm going to bring it down. I keep reading. It says, "And thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch." So he's telling Jeroboam and Israel, even your children are going to be rent in pieces for the transgressions of the land, for the sins of the nation. Verse 13, it says, "Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground." So we see God again in verse 14 preaching against the sins of the nation and also against the false religion, the altars of Bethel we see. And, you know, today in America, we live in a nation that is laden with sin, that is filled with transgressions. And here we see God's method for trying to reach a nation. God is using Amos to preach hard against them, to preach hard against the leaders, to try to bring them back over to God. Amen. You see, God in his mercy, even though Israel is not following God, they're not worshiping the Lord, God in his mercy, he's trying to bring them back to him. Look at Amos 5. Look at verse number 4. Amos 5, 4, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live, but seek not Bethel." So we see God pleading with the nation of Israel. He's saying, seek me, and you'll live. Verse 5, "But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." So we see, even though Israel is not worshiping the Lord, they're filled with sin. Amos is pleading with them. You know, God is pleading with the people. Would you seek me? Would you turn from your wickedness and turn unto the Lord? And today it's the same thing. You know, America is a country that is very wicked. We have a wicked leader as Jeroboam was, and we have a wicked nation full of sin. And we see God's method for trying to reach a nation. God is using his people, a man of God, Amos, to try to turn things around. And, you know, that's what we need today. We need more people like Amos to try to bring this country back unto God. You see, even though they're full of sin, God in his mercy wants America to turn unto him. But we have to ask ourselves, you know, how can we become that Christian that God needs us to be? How can we be people like Amos or anyone like from the Bible that preaches hard, that tries to reach a nation, tries to reach his people? And I chose Amos chapter 7 because we see Amos, he gives his testimony. We're going to see that he gives his testimony as to how God took him and made him the man that he was. You see, the problem is too often we as Christians, we look at people like Amos or other men in the Bible, maybe Peter, James, or John, or even other Christians in the church. We look at even pastors, and we look at them, and we think, I can never attain to those levels. And we think they're at some spiritual level that we can never get to. And I what I love about Amos is that we see his humility, that he was little in his own eyes. But you know what? God was able to make him the man that he needed him to be. Amen. And too often, we look at other people in our church, and we think, I can never preach a sermon like this morning sermon, or I can never win souls, or I can never be a homeschool mom, or I can never do anything great for God. And too often we give up on the Christian life because we think we can't attain to those levels. But look at Amos 7, look at verse number 12 again. Amos 7, verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet. So we see here Amaziah the priest going to Amos saying, O thou seer, O you prophet, O you man of God. And Amos, in his response, he said, I was no prophet. You know, this is not what I chose to be. This is what God made him. And we see Amos's humility. He didn't see himself as this great man of God. He said, I was no prophet. And often we look at other people or we look at the Christian life and we think, you know what? I'm not a soul winner. Or you know what? I can never preach a sermon. Or I can never be a pastor. I can never do anything for God or live for God or even homeschool my kids. See, too often we elevate people above than what we ought to. Amen. And we forget that it's God that builds us. Amen. And it's not man. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. So we see Amaziah saying, O thou seer, O thou prophet. And Amos said, I was no prophet. Look at Acts chapter 3, beginning of verse number 2. The Bible says, And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So we see this man that was lame, he couldn't walk. Peter and John walk in, and he says, I don't have money, but what I do have is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And we see this great miracle. This man received strength and walked in the temple. Look at verse number 9. It says, And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Verse 12, And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. So we see, the people see this great miracle. This man who was lame at his feet, he couldn't walk. And he walks and the people run to Peter and John. And Peter and John say, why are you looking at us? As though it was our own power that did this. And too often we do the same thing. We hear people going out winning many souls. Or we see men of God starting churches, doing great things, living right, even raising your own family, doing homeschooling your kids, and we think that somehow it's by their own power, their own holiness that they do this, that somehow God didn't have anything to do with it, that it was just them. And we do, as it says in verse 12, we marvel at them, and we look earnestly at them as if it was their own power or holiness. But you know, if we ask these men of God or other Christians, you know, how did you do this? How did you win these souls? How did you start that church, raise your kids? How did you do that? They'll give you the answer that comes in verse 13. They'll say, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. They would tell you, it's not me. It's not my own power, my own holiness. It was God who did this. God made me what I am today. And go down to verse number 16. It says, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You see, God is the one that has the power to make the lame to walk again. You know, you look at yourself, you see right now, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a soul winner, I'm not a good Christian, I'm not living for God. But you know what? God can make you those things. And so we shouldn't look at people and say, well, you know what? They must have some certain holiness or some certain power about them. But if you ask them, they'll tell you, you know what? No, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, God's the one that does this. You know what? God can do it through you if you just allow him to do it. Go back to Amos 7. If you would keep your place in the book of Amos, we're going to be going back and forth in the book of Amos. Go back to Amos 7. If you look at verse 14 again, it said, Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Verse 15, and the Lord took me. You see, Amos is telling Amaziah, this is what God has made me. Yeah, there was a time where I was no prophet. And, you know, there's a time right now, maybe you think you're not a soul winner, or you think you're not a good Christian or a preacher, whatever it is, you know, God can take you and build you into who he wants you to be. Don't turn there, but Hebrews 3:4, the Bible says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. You see, we ought to have the faith of knowing that, you know what, you may not be what you want to be now, but God has the power to make you what he needs you to be. In this wicked nation, you know, God wants more people like Amos to step up. And you ought to know, you know what, God can make me that man of God. God can make me that prophet that God needs me to be. But as we look at his testimony, we see some discouragement in Amos's testimony. And often, you know, we get discouraged in our Christian walk, but you know what, we see some discouragement in Amos as well. If you look at Amos 7, we'll read verse 12 again. Amos 7:12, the Bible says, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos, said to Amaziah, I was no prophet. You see, the first discouragement that Amos had is the same that we often have, is too often we look at ourselves. We look at ourselves and we think, I don't have anything to offer. You know, we look at ourselves right now and we look at great works that are being done for God and we think, well, I'm not a soul winner, so I can never be a soul winner. Or I'm not a preacher, so I can never be a preacher. And too often we look at ourselves and think we don't have anything to offer God. Go to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. See, too often we determine what God has for us in the future based on who we are right now. And we shouldn't do that. We should have the faith of knowing that God can make us who he needs us to be. And in Luke 5, we see the story of Jesus with Simon Peter in the boat. And Jesus tells Simon, let down the nets to catch the draught. And of course, we know the story. Simon Peter lets down one net. And they gather a multitude of fishes in so much that the net break. There was so much. And let's pick up the story in verse number 6. In verse number 6, it says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And too often many people do this. Maybe they just get saved. Or they look at themselves and they say, Lord, just depart from me. They say, God, I want nothing to do with Christianity. Why? Because I'm a sinful person. Because of who I am right now. And like Simon Peter, Peter was ready to throw in the towel on Christianity. He said, God, I want nothing to do with you or Christianity. Just get away. Why? Because of who I am. Because I'm a sinful person. Look at verse number 9. It says, for he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we see the response from Jesus. He said, Simon Peter, fear not. Don't worry about who you are right now. You see, too often you look at yourself and you think, well, I can't preach a sermon or I can't be a soul winner or live for God. Why? Because of who I am right now. But God says, you know, fear not. Don't worry about who you are now. He says, from henceforth, from here on out, you're going to catch men. See, God has more for us in the future if we just be willing to go forward, if we just take our eyes off of ourselves. And we got to see here that God's not worried about who you are right now. If you're saved, you know, God has something for you. But too often we just say, you know what, I want nothing to do with Christianity. Why? Because I'm too sinful. Don't turn there, but 2 Corinthians 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter number 10. 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Just one verse I want to look at. 1 Samuel 10. You see, we shouldn't look at ourselves and think, well, I have nothing to offer God. Or because of who I am, that I can't serve God even more. But you know, God has something for each one of us. And God is able to take us, regardless of what we have right now, and make us into something more. 1 Samuel 10, if you just look at one verse, look at verse number 6. This, of course, here is Samuel preaching to Saul. 1 Samuel 10, verse 6, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. So Samuel's telling Saul, you know, God's Holy Spirit is able to make you somebody else. So right now, you may see yourself as somebody who you think you have nothing to offer God. But God says, fear not, don't worry. I can make you that fisher of man. I can make you a new man. And so we ought to have the faith and not discourage ourselves by just looking at ourselves, getting so self-centered about who we are, and we forget about the fact that God has the power to make us what he needs us to be. Go back to Amos 7, if you would. Amos chapter 7. You see, that's just one discouragement that we often have. And we see another discouragement that we have in our lives when it comes to serving God. And Amos had the same discouragement. If you look back at verse number 14, Amos 7, 14, it says, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son." You see, too often we're like Amos where we say, "Neither was I a prophet's son." We often look at where we come from. We look at our background. We look at our past. We look at what we've done maybe, and we think because of where I'm from, because of my past, God can't make me into something else. And we shouldn't let our past bring us down. You know, Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." We should forget those things which are behind us and know that, you know what, God can fix our past. Amen. Go, if you would, to Isaiah 61, Isaiah chapter 61. You see, Amos was saying, "Neither was I a prophet's son." And, you know, I didn't grow up, you know, saved or in the Christian home or Baptist for that matter. And I know many people here didn't. But too often we think that because we came from a certain place or because maybe we've committed some sin in our life, that, you know, God can't cover that or God can't use that for his glory in the future. And too often we think, well, I can't live for God because of what I've done in the past. But you know what? God says, I can take those things and make them into something more. I could turn. Well, let's read Isaiah 61. Look at verse number 1. Isaiah 61, 1. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." And, you know, we often think of our past and we think, well, I've burned up my past and there's nothing but ashes because of what I've done. But God says, I'm able to give you beauty for those ashes. Let's keep reading. It says, "The oil of joy for mourning." And, you know, oftentimes people come into the Christian life with a past that it's a past of sadness. They've done some things, but, you know, God is able to give you that oil of joy. You know, God can turn things around in your life regardless of what you've done. Let's keep reading. It says, verse 3, "The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Look at verse 4. "And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations." And so God is saying, you know, I can take your past, no matter what you've done. Of course, there's consequences to our actions. But God is saying, I can rebuild that past that you've had. Maybe there's some sin, or maybe you weren't living for God, or whatever the case may be. God's saying, I can give you more. And so we shouldn't let our past hold us back from serving God. And so we see Amos, a man just like us, he had discouragements. He looked at himself saying, you know, I'm no prophet. He looked at his past saying, this is not where I'm from. But you know what? This is what God made me. And so we shouldn't look at our past and say, you know what? God can never use me, or God can't fix my past because of what I've done. Revelation 21, 5, don't turn there, but the Bible says, "Behold, I make all things new." So God can give us a new life. You know, you think of the book of Job, where God blessed him in the latter end. You know, maybe we've ruined our past or something, or committed some sins, but you know what? God can give us something new, and if we're just willing to serve him. But go to Colossians chapter number 3, Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3. You see, Amos was right when he said, I was no prophet. But you know what? That's exactly what God made him. You know, Peter was right when he said, the Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. But God said, you know, fear not. I know that. But you know what? I don't care. Just follow me anyway. And so we ought to have the same mentality no matter what we've done in the past or who we think we are now. God wants us and he needs us for his glory. Look at Colossians 3. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. See, your affection, your sight, your heart shouldn't be on yourself or on your past. It should be on the word of God and on things above. Look at verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. You see, we had to take that verse where it says that your life is hid with Christ. We had to see that there's a life for you that God has for you, but you know, you can't see it now in your wisdom, but God says that it's hid with Christ and God. There's a life for us that God has for us if we're just willing to search it out. And God says he will reveal it to us. You know, maybe right now we're not that prophet. Maybe right now we do have that past. But God is saying, I can give you a new life if you just set your heart on the things of God. If you'll set your heart towards what he wants for you, God can give you that new life. And so we shouldn't determine our future based on who we are right now. And we shouldn't determine our future based on what we've done in the past. The past is the past. Paul said, forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. We should reach toward the prize, for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. God has something for us, and we shouldn't let our past discourage us or who we are discourage us as to what God has for us in the future. But as we look at Amos' testimony, I'm just going to give you 3 points that I saw that God uses to give us that new life that we should all follow to seek God's will for our life. Go back to Amos chapter 7, if you would, Amos 7. And Israel at that point, like our nation today, was a wicked nation, not serving the Lord, leaders who were not worshiping God. And God needs more people like Amos. So the question is, you know, how can we become that prophet? How can we become that soul winner, that Christian that God needs us to be for his glory? Look back at Amos 7, verse 14. Amos 7, 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Verse 15, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. See, in verse 15, we have one way that God can use to change our life. It says, as I followed the flock. You see, we ought to decide to follow our flock, to follow our fold. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I'm going to read for you from John 10, 27. John 10, 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, our chief shepherd, God, has given us our flock. He's given us our fold. And one of the ways that God uses to change our life is for us to be in church, is for us to follow our flock, for us to be involved in our fold. Here in Ephesians 4, look at verse number 11. Ephesians 4, 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice these words, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, God is saying, if you ever want to be that complete Christian, that perfect man who God wants you to be, he said, I gave you church in verse 11. God says, I gave you that pastor. I gave you those teachers. I gave you those prophets. Why? To make you that perfect Christian that you need to be. And I'm surprised, you know, people think that they can be a great Christian outside of church. But God says, no, I gave you church so you could be that complete Christian. You see, God wants us to follow our fold, to be a part of this flock. And if you're in this room, it's because God put you here. You know, the Lord's the one that adds to the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, God puts you in here, and God's method for you to change your life is to be faithful to church. And, you know, I haven't been saved for that long, but I noticed people who have changed their life, they don't come to church just once a week or just Sunday morning. No, they're here faithfully. And so God can make you that complete Christian, that perfect man, if you'll just decide, number one, to just follow the fold. Be a part of the flock. Be faithful to everything that your church has to offer. Don't turn there, but Romans 11:33, the Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And often people in their own wisdom, they try to say, well, I don't need to be in church 3 times a week. Or I don't need to be faithful to everything the church has to offer. Or I don't see how a prayer meeting can do any good for my life. But God in his infinite wisdom has told us that the way we become a perfect man, a perfect Christian, is through church. And so we ought to decide just to be faithful to church and not just to get out of church or just not be half in or half out. No, God's tool or God's method is to be faithful to church, to follow the flock. So number one, how can God change your life? How can God make you that person that he needs you to be? You must follow the flock. You must be faithful to your fold. You must get fully involved in the church. And whether you understand why you should be here all the time, you know, I don't fully understand everything, but I know that God does. And I know God in his wisdom, it says that his judgments and his ways are past finding out. I don't have to understand why I'm supposed to do something, but you know what? God knows. And so you should just decide, you know what? I'm just going to get fully involved in church. I'm going to sign up for that preaching night. I'm just going to be here for the prayer meeting. Three days a week, doesn't matter. I'm going to be here because you know what? I want God to make me that Christian. I want God to make me that perfect man. So number one, how can God change your life? How can God make you be the man he needs you to be? Be faithful to church. Be one of the flock. Number two, go back to Amos 7. Amos chapter number 7. Amos chapter number 7, look at verse number 14 again. It said, then answered Amos, said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And of course, this is the obvious one of how God will change your life. He says he's a gatherer of fruit. The way God changes your life is that you must become a soul winner.
Amen.
If you want God to change your life, then you have to be a soul winner. God is not going to change your life if you're not producing fruit for him, if you're not bringing forth fruit. Go to John 15, John chapter number 15. So we see Amos' story so far, a simple man, just a herdman, a man that just followed the flock, a man that just was a gatherer of fruit. But you know, he was also a man that God used to turn a nation around, to preach against the nation, to preach against many nations. He was a man that God used. And you know what? We need more people like Amos, just simple people who will decide, you know, I'm going to follow the flock. And number two, I'm going to bring forth fruit unto God. See, if you want God to change you, then you must become a soul winner. You're in John 15, but Romans 7, 4, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. John 15, look at verse number 1. John 15, 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God's saying, if you're a branch that you don't bring forth fruit, God's going to take you away. You know, it says that if you're either helping the cause of Christ or you're hurting the cause of Christ. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You're either producing fruit for God or you're in the way and God's going to take you out of the way. But God says, you know what? If you're bringing forth fruit, he says, I'm going to purge your life. And so if there's things in your life you need changed, you need to become a soul winner. God says, I'm going to make those changes in your life. Why? Because God sees you investing in him, working in his field, doing something for him. So you know what? God's going to look down and say, you know what? I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to purge you. I'm going to help you out. And you know, you'll find that if you're faithful to church and faithful to soul winning, you know, God will work things in your life. God will see you working for him and God will end up working for you. Look down at verse 16. The Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So God has ordained us to bring forth fruit. He's made us to become soul winners. Proverbs 5:21, don't turn there, but the Bible says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. You see, God sees you when you don't go soul winning, or if you're not a soul winner, God sees that. But you know, God also sees when you are a soul winner. And God says, you know what, if you produce fruit for me, I'm going to purge you. I'm going to make those necessary changes so you could do even more for me, so you could produce even more for me. So number one, how does God change our life? You have to be faithful to your church. Get fully involved in the flock. Number two, how does God change your life? You must become a soul winner. And number three, go back to Amos chapter 7, Amos 7. Amos 7, look at verse number 14. Actually, let's go down to verse number 15. Amos 7, 15, the Bible says, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. What's the third way that God will use? We see what Amos had here, something that most Christians don't have. What he had was a personal walk with God. See, if you want to do anything for God, you must have a personal walk with the Lord. And you could be faithful to church. You could even be a soul winner and never have a personal walk with God. And so number three, how does God change your life? Is that you must have a personal walk with the Lord. And go if you would to Amos 5. And we see Amos goes to Jeroboam. Amos goes to Israel. And he's pleading with him. He's pleading with Jeroboam to get right with God. Why? Because God wants to have a relationship with Jeroboam. God wants to have a relationship with Israel. Look at Amos 5, look at verse 4 again. It said, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." And you know, God tells us the same thing. God says, if you will seek me, then you know, I will give you that life. Jump down, keep reading. It says, verse number 6, it says, "Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel." And in verse number 8, it says, "Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion." So over and over, God is using Amos to get to Jeroboam, saying God wants Jeroboam to have a relationship with him. And God is pleading with him, saying, would you seek me? Would you have a relationship with me? And you know what? Too often, God does the same thing to us. God wants us to have a personal walk with him. You see, Amos was so close to God that God knew, if I tell Amos, go prophesy unto my people Israel, he's going to go. And too often, many of us are like Amaziah. If you go look at Amos 7:12, too often, many of us were like Amaziah in Amos 7:12, where it says, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. You see, we read the Bible, and we say, you know what, that's not for me. That's for Judah, or that's for brother so-and-so. When God tells you, go into all the world, we often say, well, you know, that's not for me. That's for brother so-and-so. Or when God says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, oh, that's not for me. That's for brother so-and-so. Or when God tells you to set no wicked thing before your eyes, you often say, well, that's not for me. I can watch this. That's for brother so-and-so. And too often, God wants to have a relationship with us, do more with us, but we're just not walking with him. We're not fellowshipping with him. And you know what? God can't do more with us because we think that he's talking to somebody else when he's really trying to talk to us. And so, go if you would to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And it's possible to come to church 3 times a week, and it's possible to be a soul winner and never have a relationship or fellowship with God. You can never walk with God. And so we shouldn't think that Christianity is just some sort of time slot. Well, I came to church 3 times a week, or I went soul winning once a week, and that makes me a pretty good Christian. But no, we ought to realize that God and the Lord, it should be our life. And it's an everyday thing, and God wants to do more with us if we would just make him our life. Look at Deuteronomy 32, look at verse number 46. Verse 46, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law." Verse 47, "For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life." You see, our life is more than just coming to church 3 or 4 times a week. Our life is for us to set our hearts unto all the commandments of God. And this is an everyday thing. And this is for us reading our Bible every day, praying to God every day, walking in the light every single day, not just clocking in and out of church or clocking in and out of soul winning. No, God has more for us, but we just have to be willing to walk with him to the point where he can be like Amos. And when God tells Amos, you know what, go do this, and Amos just went. And you know, God, there's more for us that God wants to do, but you know what, we have to be willing to listen and to obey God. Go to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter number 1. Number one, I said you must follow the flock. If you want to do something for God, if you want God to make you that prophet, that seer, that Christian that he needs you to be, you must be faithful to the flock. You must be faithful to the fold. Number two, if you want God to change your life, to make you that person he needs you to be, you must become a soul winner. And number three, you must have a personal walk with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And I'm sure most Christians will say, well, I do have fellowship with God because I go to church a couple times a week, or because I show up for soul winning. But when we walk in darkness throughout the week, when we don't read our Bible or obey his commandments throughout the week, the Bible says we're lying and we don't do the truth. Amen. Verse number 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It says if we're willing to walk in the light, if we're willing to read our Bible every day, obey the commandments of God, God's saying then we have fellowship with God. So we shouldn't look at the Christian life as just a time slot where we clock in and out and think, well, because I did X, Y, and Z, I must be a great Christian. No, we need to set our hearts every day to seek the Lord. Why? Because It's our life. And God wants to do more with us if we're willing to walk in the light. What is that? Read our Bible and obey his commandments. Not only that, look at verse number 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What is that? That's prayer. We ought to be praying to God every day to help us walk with him, to help us do more for him. And prayer is when we talk to God. And so we should be going to God every day by reading his word, by walking in the light, by praying to God and asking God for us to do more through him. Look at verse number 3. If you go to 1 John 1, look at verse number 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, God has more for us if we're just willing to fellowship with him throughout our life. And so even though our nation today is like the nation of Israel in the sense where it's wicked, the sins and iniquities abound in our nation, and we have leaders like Jeroboam who don't care what the Bible says, but you know what? God needs people like Amos to step up and do more for God. And we shouldn't look at ourselves or look at our past and think, you know what? I can never be that man of God. But God says, you know what? If you will just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, if you'll do three things, just follow the fold, be faithful to church. And number 2, become a soul winner so God can change your life. And number 3, you must develop a personal relationship with God. You see, Amos told Amaziah, he said, I was no prophet. But that's exactly what God made him. And today you might be sitting here thinking, you know, I'm not a soul winner or I'm not a preacher. I'm not this or that for God. But you know what? God can make you those things if you just be willing to walk with him and do what he wants you to do. Let's close in a word of prayer.